of the Jones Thing, that crazy, wacky Dallas all-star band that never seems to play live, much less practice, but does occasionally come together and record some pretty good music. And I think that's what we recently did at Artisan Recording Studios in Farmers Branch, Texas, in November. And we recorded an album called Sweet Simulacra. And I'll go into the title and the rationale behind all that crap later. But I thought I would use this audio blog instead of the written blog to kind of explicate one of the songs that's going to be on it. And it's a song that's called Hollywood and Dreams. And it's quite different from the rest of the album, the rest of the songs that are on the album. And I figured since I don't want to give too much away too soon, I'd take this one and kind of chop it up and show you how I built it, and maybe you'd find that interesting. So I've got the software called Cubase, and thanks again to Chris Carmichael for turning me on to it. Chris is the brother of Trey, our drummer, and Chris is a pretty damn good drummer in his own right, and also is a kick-ass engineer. And does a lot of mastering projects as well. And he gave me this Cubase software, which is basically a computer version of a multi-track recorder. It's just software that you throw on your computer and you can record as many different MIDI or analog instruments as you want. You can add effects to them, you can mix them and add automated pans and volume controls, compression. A lot of stuff I don't really know how to use. It's just great to get ideas down and move them around. And so the song Hollywood and Dreams was actually kind of started at work, and just by drawing a few MIDI notes and assigning some instruments to them, some patches to them, came up with what you're going to hear right now, which is just kind of a loop sound. That's just kind of silly. Synth-sounding melody line, which obviously I hadn't come up with any lyrics yet. Lyrics are always the last for me for some reason, unless I just get some brilliant idea right away. Most of the time, it's just the most painful process in the world trying to write good lyrics that have some kind of multi-layered structure to them or meaning with some wordplay that's interesting. So I had basically taken all this stuff and brought it back home and decided to add some guitars to it. So here's what it sounded like once I added some other parts to it. So listening to these demos, you can obviously tell that my engineering skills leave a lot to be desired, which is why end up going to Artisan to do the actual recording, because Paul Williams is a master and can actually engineer instead of just fumble through things and, well, I wonder what happens when I turn this button on, stuff like that, which is my case. So after letting this thing sit for a long time, nothing really happened with it. I was trying to get some songs together for the new album, and I really wasn't intending to include this, but Joe seemed to like it. Joe Schwartzott, our bass player, who's actually a really badass guitar player, but I made him play bass because we didn't have a bass player. And so took that to the guys, and we learned it for the studio album. So, transforming something that sounds like this, magically transforms into something like this that's recorded by an actual band. Demo, and it was really easy to export just those parts from, you know, my computer to a CD and then just have him load that on there. We could have obviously taken the MIDI stuff and moved it over and resequenced it with different patches, but since we didn't have that much time, we just ripped them to WAV files and he just threw them into his software. So as usual, I was pretty satisfied with the way that it was turning out, but it seemed like it was lacking something. It seemed like the first and second and third verses all kind of sounded the same with just different lyrics. There wasn't really anything extra going on. And so I took the two-track version of the rough mix home and threw that back on to another project, opened up another project in Cubase, and drew some more MIDI notes and hooked it into a keyboard that has some actually good, sort of semi-good sounding strings, and just spent a few hours arranging a part for the album. And so here's what the little string parts sound by themselves. As you can hear, they're all this kind of Victorian or over the top string production, which gets kind of buried in the final mix, which you'll hear, but that's fine by me because it doesn't need to be a total string song. So here's more of that. Thank you. subconscious to create something in tandem with your conscious. Maybe not in tandem, that's a bad word, but maybe in different phases of trying to write a song, you'll actually come up with some really interesting things. Like, it never occurred to me that the little string plucks that you hear here actually match up with the words. And I was just like, wow, well, how the hell did that happen? But so I chalked that one up to the subconscious. Or maybe just the conscious mind saying, hey, you idiot, don't you get this? This is what you should do. So as I mentioned before, coming up with words is obviously the hardest part for me, trying to write a song. And so just by listening to the material that was already recorded, you kind of get this shopping in a supermarket or at the mall type vibe. You think of some woman that's living in suburbia and doesn't seem to notice the world around her, or lives in a very closed world. And so the idea of the song was that she's semi-confronted with reality or another reality and is oblivious to it. And the people that are kind of outside looking in at her are kind of shaking their heads and can't believe that that she's this way. But she seems to just get along fine by herself. So I'm not trying to make any kind of overt judgment of somebody's lifestyle, but rather just trying to notice just how different a lot of people are. So here is the version, or here's parts of the version, final version with the strings. And again, this is not mastered yet, but that wouldn't really make a difference to you listening on this. Is the most different sounding song on the album, and it would probably sound even wackier if it had fake drums. Luckily, Trey gave at least some sense of realism to the recording, as opposed to it being just some kind of a straightforward MIDI thing like you heard at the beginning. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this. If I glossed over things or didn't talk about things or talked about some aspect of it too much or not enough, just send me an email and let me know. JonesAroni@comcast.net. That's JonesAroni at comcast.net. Or just go to the Jones thing and make a comment on the blog. I know that we get a lot of visitors to the site thanks to a lot of the people that are linking to us, but nobody seems to want to comment. So please comment. Your comments are greatly appreciated. And if you enjoyed this, let me know. If you thought this was a stupid idea, let me know. And if you like it, maybe we'll do another one in 2006 before the next album comes out. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. And this is Jeff Jones of The Jones Thing. Take care.